This is Outspoken, the podcast that's not afraid to say exactly what you're thinking.
Our names are Amy, Kate and Sophie Torber. We're identical triplets, but we often don't have identical opinions. So sometimes things can get heated.
Outspoken covers all things reality TV, influencers, entertainment and issues facing women.
That is so fetch.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Outspoken. Now, I thought I'd kick off the week by sharing a rather embarrassing story. Now, to set the scene for those who are new listeners, the three of us caused a lot of controversy when we revealed on this podcast that we all go on our phones in the shower. Now, to be clear, we hold the phone at a distance, so obviously no water gets on there. There must be some sort of obsession with our phone going on.
Yeah, but can I say a lot of people agreed with us and said that they do the same thing. They take their phone into the shower.
Well, some people said they had Ziploc bags for their phone.
Do you know what I love about this story, Sophie? That you said that it happened on Friday afternoon. Like, normally people take a shower.
Oh, actually, it was Friday morning. I don't know what. We're recording Friday afternoon. It was Friday morning.
So you have showered? Okay, good.
Yes, I have showered. Anyway, so Friday morning, I'm flicking through comments on the Outspoken podcast page. We got quite a big reception to Friday's episode and I was replying to nice people who'd left comments. Anyway, all of a sudden, I'm just reading through a comment I'm about to send back to someone and my finger...
So is this a private message, though?
Yes, this is a private message. Mm-hmm. And my finger slips to the video call and... All of a sudden, my face appears in the shower. And
well, it's lucky it was just your face.
Well, luckily it was just my face and my hair was all wet. I just looked an absolute mess.
Do you know what? Sometimes I feel like just the face could potentially be worse. Like I'd almost rather my body and not being able to identify my face.
What's your nude body?
As soon as this happened, I threw the phone across the room and I put it face down and tried to turn my phone off. I just freaked out because I thought if I kept it on myself and try and reject the call, then they might answer.
Why does FaceTime and also Instagram video calls, why do they always have your face pop up first? Like it's a really shocking thing when you accidentally do it.
Well, thankfully, somehow I must have rejected the call. And then I had to reply to the person, oh, I'm so sorry, I accidentally video called you. And I was so worried that I'd somehow sent a snapshot of myself in the shower. Thankfully, I had not. But I think that's a real lesson for the three of us, maybe to leave our phones outside of the shower.
I also said to you, Sophie, that you need to get a bit of blue tack to put on the front camera and also maybe the back one.
Well, on the topic of plumbing, I also had a disaster at my house. Now, unfortunately, my showers aren't very hot. It gets to the point where the hot water runs out by night. So we had a plumber come in to take a look at our water tank. Now, as he was leaving our property, he's like, oh, hey, have you got a blocked drain by any chance? And I was like, well, the shower does take a while to drain. Anyway, he's like, come and have a look at this. So I walk out onto my driveway and in my garden, there is a massive toilet paper. And at first I could not work out what it was. I then saw something brown. And I'm sorry for anyone that is eating their breakfast, but I got quite a shock. So our drain had just, all the waste had poured out onto our garden. And I was like, fantastic. The plumber said, oh, it's pretty interesting. Usually you see a lot of corn in there. Oh,
that's a bit of a fun fact from
Kate,
a plumber,
isn't
it?
This is a disgusting story to start everyone's Monday morning.
Fortunately, SA Water came out and tidied it all up and we didn't even have to pay anything. So I very much respect those people. Thank you for doing that.
That is just so embarrassing. Could you imagine just standing there while your own shit's on the lawn?
Have you guys heard of that drink? I only know it from being a bartender back in the day and it was called a shit on the lawn.
Or it was also called a frog in the pond.
Yeah, because Amy was asked for a shit on the lawn and she was like, what?
Too much of this attitude of I'm young, fit, healthy. I don't give a fuck about the virus. It's not you that you have to worry about. It's you getting the virus and giving it to people around you.
Chloe Zepp has issued a statement on her Instagram feed after receiving mainstream media attention for her controversial COVID views. The 22-year-old wellness influencer has lost over 25,000 followers this month after sharing anti-vax and anti-lockdown sentiment, as well as refusing to wear a mask despite it being mandatory. Kate, yet again the comments from Chloe are non-committal and go against what she has been pushing on her platform.
Yeah, that's right, Amy. The 300-word statement really danced around the issue without committing to a viewpoint. Chloe refrained from using the word COVID, vaccine or vaccination, instead saying that she's not anti or pro anything and that she believes in choice. Chloe said people have wrongly assumed that she does not support Western medicine and went on to say, I stand by holistic healing and wellness as my foundation, but that doesn't mean I am anti anything else when required. Chloe also accused the media of turning some of her posts into false stories for their own personal gain. She said, I am not anti or pro anything. I believe in choice. I believe in science, in complementary modalities, and Western medicine as it saves lives. They are support to each other. In the post, Chloe also acknowledged that she is lucky to have more freedoms than other places and said, I never want to come across as abusing those rights. It was my mistake for publicly not wearing a mask, and I take ownership of that mistake. Now, what did you guys think about this statement?
The thing that first stuck out to me was the fact that she never apologized for not wearing a mask. She simply said that she was mistaken. And I know we've all had that situation early into lockdowns where we're not used to wearing masks and maybe we've completely forgot to get it. But as soon as you walk into the store, you see everyone wearing a mask, so you quickly can run back to your car and get one. I don't think that this is an honest mistake.
The thing is, it's also not an isolated situation. Yeah, Chloe has been called out for not wearing a mask at Big W. However, she hasn't been wearing a mask in any of their vlogs or videos that they post on Instagram. It's quite clear that they have been flouting those rules for a long time now.
Yeah, and I think you hit the nail on the head, Kate, when you said that she danced around what she actually wanted to say, because it does seem clear that she has had some PR advice in terms of putting out this statement. And normally Crisis 101 is to apologize, and I feel like they picked on the mask issue to apologize for because it's really been the only thing that they can prove, because she's really also danced around her anti-vax views as well.
You call it an apology, but as we said before, she didn't actually say sorry, and that's why I did think she may have had some help from some media team and with the crafting of the words, because there's a difference between saying, oh, I made a mistake, to I'm actually sorry for that mistake.
Yeah, I think it's very evident that she definitely had some PR advice with that one, especially because publications like Mamma Mia, News.com, Pedestrian, Daily Mail, the Gold Coast Bulletin and the Courier have written about Chloe and presumably reached out to Chloe for a statement. So I feel like it has gotten to the point for both Chloe and Mitch where they have needed to seek some sort of professional media help. And on Friday morning, they were very quiet on their stories. Normally they are documenting their morning routines where they go to the beach. On Friday morning, we saw nothing until we got this statement.
Another thing that hinted to me that they had professionals involved was because I could not imagine Chloe using the phrase natural modalities. I mean, I've never heard her say it. I stumbled on the word because it's not a common word people use.
Yeah, and bringing out the PR big guns, it shows you that they are a little bit scared, because I think the thing is, there has been a lot of talk in podcasts and on social media about Chloe and Mitch and their anti-vax views. But the thing is, now it's hit the mainstream media. This means it is going to affect brand deals, because business owners, they are aware of this sort of stuff. It seems like a lot of brands maybe aren't so aware of what's going on social media, but once you make these big publications, it's a real issue and could be extremely damaging to their brand. I think the thing that annoyed me most about this statement was it was filled with deflections. She didn't take any responsibility for her actions, and she just continued to sit on the fence, and she didn't actually say, hey, I do actually believe in the vaccine. She just said she isn't anti or pro anything, but she prefaced it by saying when required. You know what I mean? I'm
so
pro when required.
Does that mean if she's got a brand trip coming up that she'll have it?
No, well, I think when she says when required, it refers to the fact that she doesn't think vaccines are necessary in this case.
To me, when I saw the word when required, I thought it might have something to do with the fact that people might question whether Chloe has been vaccinated before. And I would assume with her mum being a nurse that she has been vaccinated. And I feel like a lot of anti-vaxxers then pull out, oh, well, I'm happy to have the vaccines that have been trialed and tested, because a lot of them like to call Pfizer and AstraZeneca experimental vaccines, when we know that this is not the case and it's completely a different system that has led to this vaccine being created.
Well, it's interesting because when Tammy Hembro was accused of being anti-vax, she was really quick to come out and say that she isn't anti-vax and that she'd actually booked in to get the vaccine. I think people are just so sick of this dancing around it. Just say what you are. I know she's claiming that she's pro-choice, but I'm sorry, I classify people who are pro-choice as
well, you're leaning towards being an anti-vaxxer, because in this situation, we can't be pro-choice. Your choice affects the rest of the community.
Exactly right, Sophie. This is a public health issue, and it is selfish not to get vaccinated if you can. I feel like I would have had more respect for Chloe if she'd actually been honest with her feelings rather than sitting on the fence. It just seems like she's trying to save face currently.
Well, it's a complete backflip from her initial statement, which said she was waving all of her followers goodbye.
It just looks like she's in complete damage control at the moment. I don't even know how much involvement she would have had in physically posting this story herself. I think it would have been completely coming from a PR team. And at the end of the day, obviously, they're doing their job in trying to keep brands happy and wanting to work with her.
It is interesting that once it started to now affect Chloe's business and earnings, she completely backflips on the stance that she was pushing.
Well, how did the post go down on social media, Kate?
Well, at the time of recording, the post has received 28,000 likes, and I'm sure by Monday it is going to have a lot more. The Blue Tick Brigade were out in full force. Influencers who liked the post included Jonathan Sauer, Martha from Maths, Chloe Morello, Kira Maguire, Kurt Coleman, and Sarah Jane Stevens. Influencer Alex Hayes, who people may remember from Celebrity Apprentice, wrote, "Love you, Chloe. Thanks for always inspiring me." And Gretty Rose put praising hands on the post. I did notice that friends like Josh Miller and Steph Claire Smith were absent, which I think was a good idea.
Mitch also left a comment under the post. He wrote, "I will be forever grateful for you. You changed my life for the better, and everything I know and everything I embody today was inspired by you. You made me want to be healthier, happier, and live a more conscious and present life. Thank you for everything you've done for me. I love you." I was a bit confused by this comment. I feel like it was unnecessary to leave because I feel like his intent was to garner more sympathy for her and obviously point out that she's very good at what she does, that she's an expert in health and wellness, when clearly the advice she's giving at the moment goes against health.
I suppose Mitch's comment is something that you would expect, but I wasn't expecting this comment from Chloe's business partner, Molly Jane. Now, she co-owned Bloom with Chloe, as well as being a part of WellWeb. And Molly Jane said, "Handling it all with such grace, my love. Words have been twisted, put in your mouth, assumptions made, and so much bullying behind the scenes because of this. I am so proud of you for the work you have done on your mental health over the years to be resilient enough to handle situations such as this and others. I love you so much. Anyone that truly knows you are as pure as they come." Now, obviously, it is important to consider Chloe's mental health in this situation because she is a 22-year-old girl. And while I feel like this would be a hard situation to deal with, again, I feel like this comment is, again, it's not the whole statement, I believe, was meant to be a bit of an apology, even though the word sorry wasn't used. But these comments kind of show what Chloe really thinks behind the statement, that she was forced to put this statement out.
And I think what some people are forgetting is this pandemic is a life and death situation. I'm sorry, but if you are choosing to go against health recommendations made by health professionals and the government, you are putting people at risk. So as much as I do have some sympathy towards it, because I'm sure all of this media attention would be quite overwhelming, I do think at the end of the day, if she is happy to take on board all of the great things that come with having her platform, including getting paid a hell of a lot of money, then she has to take some of the negative on board as well.
Do you guys think that she will be losing brand deals, or do you think that this statement might save her?
I think this statement actually gives it more attention because I feel like all the news publications that have written about her are now going to add in her statement. So I feel like it's kind of doing the opposite of what she's hoping it will achieve. And again, as Sophie said earlier, when you start talking about Chloe Zepp on a mainstream platform, that's when big brands do start to notice and be like, shit, I'm pulling my money out of this. I don't want my brand aligned with this person.
I did really enjoy Clementine Ford's comments. She wrote, "Damage control," and this received 400 likes.
Well, Celeb Spellcheck wrote a banger comment. She wrote, "Too little, too late. You're only doing this now because you're losing followers and supporters, which you now realize will impact you financially. I'd honestly rather you admit that you're anti-vax rather than backtrack because the mainstream media has picked up on you spreading dangerous misinformation. You owe an apology to all the healthcare workers who are quite literally risking their lives to keep you safe." Now, Celeb Spellcheck's response has attracted nearly 2,000 likes at the time of recording.
Aussie Influencer Opinions also got in on the action. They wrote, "On the topic of kindness, compassion, unity, should healthcare workers also expect an apology from Mitch for completely disrespecting Australia's public health system?"
That is a great point, because it's interesting out of all of this that Chloe is the one that is attracting the most attention. Now, I do think it is because she has the biggest audience, but I feel like Mitch has been equally as problematic on this topic recently.
Hey guys, welcome back to my channel. I hope you're all doing well. I'm having to slide down in my chair a little bit because the steering wheel height is not quite correct. If I look a bit slumped, it's just so I'm actually in this view right now.
Molly Mae Haig has been announced as the creative director of fashion retailer Pretty Little Thing. The Mirror is reporting the new role could earn the former Love Islander $1 million. Amy, can you tell us about this role?
Yeah, well, since leaving the Villa, Molly had her own collection with Pretty Little Thing, so it's not surprising that this role has come up. On Instagram, Molly wrote, "I'm beyond ecstatic to announce that I'm the new creative director of Pretty Little Thing for UKEU. This is the biggest move in my career so far, and I can't explain my gratitude to my favorite brand in the world for trusting me with this role." So Molly Mae celebrated her new role with an exclusive party, which was attended by well-known influencers Anastasia Kingsnorth and Saffron Barker and many former Love Islanders, the most noteworthy being Maura Higgins.
Now, Amy, you said that it didn't come as a surprise that Molly had been selected for this role as creative director. But to be honest, when I saw the post, I was really surprised because I feel like creative director of such a massive brand like Pretty Little Thing, you need to actually have some experience behind you. And I feel like that of an influencer that's been on Love Island probably isn't enough for that role. And that's not to be any disrespect towards Molly, but I really feel like she may be, yes, the face of the brand and have some and be stylish, but not creative director.
Well, there were mixed feelings online. So the term Money May was trending on Twitter, and one person tweeted, "Congratulations, but this is a job people get degrees for and work hard for years to get experience for. Seems a little unfair for those people." But another user defended Molly, saying she went to the Fashion Retail Academy and studied for 2 years, just like everyone else. She hasn't just been handed it. Yes, the fame helps, but don't think she hasn't worked for where she is now because of Love Island. Knowing that background information, do you guys think it was a smart move by Pretty Little Thing?
Well, I think all of our listeners know that I have a very soft spot for Molly Mae. She's one of my favorite influencers. And the fact that she does have a background in fashion, it does sort of make sense to me, but I am questioning how much this role actually entails, whether it is just a title she's receiving or whether this will be her being in the office 5 days a week.
I also love Molly Mae, and this is not meant to be disrespectful to her at all, but I feel like there wouldn't be many people that studied a few years at a fashion retail academy that would then just land this amazing job. It does seem unfair to those who have put in the hard yards. In saying that, it seems like a clever branding opportunity, and it kind of does put into perspective Molly's decision to turn down a $2 million deal to promote another fashion line.
Hi guys, welcome back to my channel.
OnlyFans star Anna Paul is brightening lockdown for some lucky followers by giving away money. Sophie, can you tell us a bit more?
Yeah, well, Anna explained in one of her TikTok blogs that she's feeling very guilty at the moment and very privileged because she is living in Brisbane, where restrictions are obviously easing, and she is about to go on a holiday. And she said that to kind of ease some of that guilt, she wanted to give away money. Now, this is something that she has done before. So she decided to give away money to followers who contacted her who are currently in lockdown.
I've only actually started watching Anna Paul's YouTube videos, and I've got to say, I really quite like her. She does seem like a very genuine person, and I think what she is doing is really nice, and it's a positive thing to see on social media.
Yeah, I have to say, I mean, her brother is quite controversial, but she does seem like a very lovely girl. So she wrote on her Instagram story that she has spent the morning sending money to people who have messaged her from TikTok. So she shared a screenshot showing that she had sent across $250 to a follower, and the girl was so appreciative, she was in tears. However, some fans thought that it was in poor taste to share the screenshot of the amount she sent. They said that it seemed quite performative and that the gesture should have remained private because at the end of the day, she is then benefiting and looking like a good person for doing this deed. What do you guys think?
I can see where the person is coming from when you put it like that, because you do question the need to promote something like that, because obviously it gives you clout and it does make you look good.
But it could also be prompting other influencers to do the same thing. It's a little bit, I can see where the person's coming from, but I can also see the other side.
It's a bit like when Taylor Swift gave out gifts and money to her fans, and she did it by knocking on their front doors and surprising them. And whilst many people did think it was a lovely gesture, they also could see the fact that it was a great PR opportunity because it gained a lot of attention online and also in mainstream media publications and did help build her profile as someone who is very kind and supportive.
You're kind of damned if you do, you're damned if you don't, aren't you?
But the only thing really that there is to do is to forgive and forget. So I really do. I want to forgive you and I want to forget you.
Skye Wheatley, Ashy Bynes and Emily Hembro have joined forces to promote a competition called Influencer Giveaways. One lucky winner will receive a Tesla car. The catch? You just need to follow the Aussie Influencers account plus 100 others. Now, so if this sounds like your typical giveaway loop, for those who haven't heard of the term, can you outline what they are?
Well, basically, they are used as a marketing technique for brands or influencers to gain more followers. And there has been a recent resurgence in these giveaway posts. So influencers are the faces of these giveaways, and generally they pose in front of a very gratuitous amount of luxury items. And in order to enter the competition, users must follow all of the participating accounts on the giveaway page. So the number of accounts involved can vary, but the higher the number of accounts, the stronger the incentive has to be for the user to take part. So this is usually when more of the lavish prizes occur. So basically, by these brands all coming together in this way, participants can reach a much bigger audience and offer a more expensive prize. So the prizes generally include things like designer bags, laptops, iPhones, and also large sums of money.
Well, it was actually Kylie Jenner who introduced us to a whole new wave of celebrity-fronted loop giveaway posts in 2019. The company behind the post, called Curated Business, states that participating brands gained 23,000 followers, a dramatic increase in web traffic, and a spike in online sales. So Curated Business have also managed campaigns featuring Kourtney Kardashian, Kris Jenner, Khloe Kardashian, Nadia Bartel, and Beck Judd.
It's not yet clear if Curated Business are also running this influencer giveaway because there is no business page linked to this Instagram account. It is simply called Influencer Giveaways. But if you take a look at their Instagram page, they have been running since August 2019, and they've done collaborations with people like Rhys Hawkins, Tammy Hembro, Emily Hembro, Chrissy Swaddling, and also Greta Rose. So the reason this competition initially caught my attention this week is because of Skye Wheatley's pre-filmed Instagram stories. And I feel like so many influencers are getting caught out for this at the moment.
Well, just to interject, didn't Chloe Zepp get caught out because she had put this big post up about talking about how she's limiting her sugar intake and feels great? And then the next post was a pre-recorded post where she's sponsored by a jelly bean.
Well, this
bean
was kind
company.
Of similar. So basically, Skye shared an Instagram story complaining about having a flat tire in her own car, which is an Alfa Romeo. I feel like I haven't heard that brand since Sale of the Century. Mm. Well, anyway, so she's sharing this video of the fact that her car has a flat tire. You click to the next screen and she's sitting in the brand new Tesla saying how great it is and outlining all the features of this car. And I felt like it was very unfortunate timing because if you weren't really concentrating on the post, you'd feel like she was saying that this brand new competition car had the flat tire and was no good.
I was just thinking, I swear I saw someone else driving around in a Tesla, and it was Saffron Barker's mum. So I wonder if the competition is international.
Yeah, I feel like they are getting a lot of influencers on board. I think that this competition is specifically a local Australian competition, judging by the influencers they've featured on their page.
Gosh, so there's a few Teslas being given away. Well, I think it's important to discuss the issue with this competition, because not only does it seem like a bit of a deceptive way to actually gain followers, but there's some issues going on with copycat accounts popping up that are trying to scam people that enter these type of competitions. So this week, Ashley Bynes, who is also promoting the giveaway, warned followers that a fake account posing as the giveaway page had emerged and was telling people they'd won and to send through their bank details. Worryingly, when I went to take a look at the Real Influencer giveaway page today, the whole page has disappeared.
Yeah, so if you click on the link that Sky Wheatley has put in her Instagram post promoting it, nothing comes up anymore. So I wonder what is going to happen with this competition.
Perhaps Instagram's come in and deleted the competition, because I was surprised these sorts of competitions still exist on the platform, because it seems to go against the standards to force people to follow a bunch of different accounts. It doesn't seem very genuine.
I also wonder whether it's actually worth it for the brands who are participating in these sort of competitions, because at the end of the day, their goal to be involved is to attract genuine, engaged followers who will eventually become a customer of their brand. However, if I'm entering this competition, if I don't win, as soon as it's over, I'm going to go and unfollow those people.
Oh, exactly. I just feel like the brands that do participate in these type of competitions don't actually understand why you should have followers and know much about social media. I feel like they're just stuck back in the day where it looks good to have a lot of followers. I mean, there's no point of having 100,000 followers if they're all bots or fake or not interested in your business. Like, that's not going to benefit you at all.
Do you know, it's so random. There's a guy that I follow on Instagram through some kind of work connection, and he literally posts photos of sunsets randomly once a month, and he keeps sharing, oh, I've suddenly hit 38,000 on Instagram.
Oh, I saw this.
It's so embarrassing. And someone's like, what with your once a month posts? So he's clearly gone off and bought, oh, I'll tell you after the podcast.
Do I know them?
Probably.
Hi guys, I'm Millie.
I'm Liam.
We have just won Love Island and we're ready to answer some questions.
This week, Millie and Liam were crowned the winners of Love Island UK, beating out Chloe and Toby. Following the finale, talk has already turned to which Islanders will ultimately reign supreme, turning their Love Island experience into a career outside of the villa. Firstly, what did everyone think of the result?
I'm still in a spiral of deep depression that the show is over. I feel like I haven't come to terms with it, because I don't know what I'm going to watch now. I think I'm going to have to download Binge and start watching Melbourne Housewives like Amy has.
Oh, yes.
I was happy with the result. I wasn't surprised because Sophie follows a Love Island UK page on Outspoken's Instagram account. And I actually saw it 2 days ago and I was fuming that it had been ruined for me.
See, to me, I don't really care whether I know the winner or not, because I don't think that the show is about who wins.
I agree. I mean, I was kind of hoping that Chloe and Toby won, but I wasn't surprised that Millie and Liam did. However, there was a lot of outcry in the UK over the fact that Chloe and Toby didn't win. A journalist from The Guardian described Chloe and Toby as having the delightful fizzy energy of two Baroccas dissolving, but then went on to describe Millie and Liam as being more like a Prozac prom king and queen. Do you guys agree with that description? Because everyone sort of thought, well, they were kind of boring.
No, I don't agree with it at all. I was rooting for Millie and Liam the whole time. I think that they had the most genuine love story out of all of the couples. You could really sense how in love they really are.
See, this will be an unpopular opinion, but I don't see them lasting. I mean, the fact that they live so far apart, I know Liam has said that he's going to move to Essex from Wales, but I feel like Millie couldn't even trust him being in a villa for 3 days.
But they were only together for a few weeks at that stage.
Yeah, but I feel like they've sort of turned it on a bit, and suddenly they're in love and suddenly they're boyfriend and girlfriend. Like, I definitely noticed a change in the men's behavior once it started coming around to the final week. And I don't know, I was talking to Reese. We don't think some of the men were that genuine, particularly when the girls were like, oh, we've got all the guys whipped. They're out making iced coffees for us with whipped cream. I doubt that will continue happening when the cameras have stopped rolling.
I could definitely see that with people like Tyler and maybe even Teddy in some situations, but I don't think that you can fake that sort of affection for someone. I think that Liam was genuinely sorry over what he did, and it made him realize how much he does love Millie. All the couples in the house said that they were the mum and dad of the house and had the deepest connection.
Oh, I'm not denying their connection. I think that they are a good couple. However, Liam is 22 years old. He is about to get more attention than he could ever imagine. And there are going to be girls sliding into his DMs. He's going to be out at nightclub appearances. And I think the fact that Millie deep down will not trust him, and that will cause issues in their relationship.
Well, Liam has in fact confirmed that he is going to be moving to Essex, where Millie is from. But interestingly, the pair are having to quarantine separately. So Spain is on the UK's amber list. So anyone who isn't fully vaccinated is required to quarantine for 10 days. So they actually have to do it separately.
What a PR disaster for Love Island. Can you imagine trying to get all of the TV and morning show interviews in place and then only being able to do it by Zoom?
But why can't they quarantine together as well if they've both returned back? Surely they could do it together. Well,
I think it might have something to do with you have to quarantine at your residence.
But I saw Chloe and Toby isolating together.
I'm not sure. Maybe weird. It's because he's from Wales.
It's funny that you said that Spain is on the UK's amber list and people have to quarantine, because Millie and Liam, I saw a video of them walking out of the airport hand in hand. They weren't wearing masks and they just got into like two taxis and drove off. It doesn't seem like it's very strict.
Oh, well, I saw they had to wear masks on the plane because they put up a photo of them kissing with masks on.
Can I just say though, does anyone else think that it's obviously going to be more beneficial for Liam's potential media career for him to be in Essex as opposed to Wales?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Oh,
that's what I first thought too. I feel like it's no surprise that most of the contestants went on Love Island to kickstart their influencer careers. Amy, can you run us through which islander has gained the biggest following whilst in the villa?
Well, the big winner has been Millie, who gained over 1.3 million followers, and it's not really surprising considering she and Liam won the show. For those who don't know, Millie was a fashion buyer's administrator for ASOS before going into the villa, so she previously had a following of 6,000, and Millie is my pick to be the islander that gets the fast fashion deal, a bit like Molly May.
I feel like the only person standing in Millie's way is Liberty. Now, Liberty chose to leave the villa after breaking up with her then-boyfriend, Jake. And in the process, she gained 1.3 million followers despite leaving the show before the finale. And she was the first islander to reach 1 million followers. So I really do think the way Liberty handled the situation on the show has garnered her a lot of support outside of the villa. And I just think that people really like to sympathize with someone. She went through a really difficult situation, and a lot of people could relate to what she went through and how she would be feeling.
I have to disagree, because I think that whilst Liberty may get some media opportunities, like appearing on maybe the dancing shows over in the UK, I think that Millie is the perfect choice for some sort of fashion role. As you said, she is a fashion buyer. A lot of people really enjoy her fashion and it resonates with them. However, I don't think many people really like Liberty's fashion.
I think they might each get a deal, and I feel like Millie's will be more highbrow.
But Kaz, we've got to remember, is a fashion influencer. So what about Kaz?
Well, what's interesting is Kaz only has, well, not only, because it's still a lot of followers, but she's got 700,000 followers. So she's got 600,000 less than both Millie and Liberty.
It's really strange, because she was one of the most popular contestants in the villa before Casa Amor, and that's where things all started to change. But she really didn't do anything wrong except take Tyler back.
Yeah, I think no one really bought into their relationship, because it was quite clear that Tyler was in it for Instagram followers and tried to make their relationship look better than it actually was. And also the fact that he didn't even ask her to be his girlfriend. He asked her to be exclusive, which is really quite an insult in the villa.
And then even on their last date, he was like, oh, we'll see. It's like they're talking about being boyfriend and girlfriend as if it's getting married. He liked to use this line, which I feel like a lot of guys gaslighting girls like to do. I've had this one said to me before by a previous ex-boyfriend. Oh, the next person I date, I want to end up with. And it's a way to be like, oh, hang on, I'm still trying to work out if that's going to be you.
Well, just going back to the follower counts, Chloe also hit 1 million followers and she was the third most popular Islander according to Instagram followers. Then it was Liam who got 886,000 followers. Interestingly, Faye came in fifth place with 873,000, so over 400,000 less than Liberty and Millie. I don't know if that's that surprising though.
It does not surprise me with her behavior and all her arguing, but I have followed her. I am a Faye fan.
How awkward was it when Teddy's family came in and it was so apparent that they really disliked Faye?
It freaked me out how similar their voices were. I know that sounds stupid because everyone messages us saying that they can't tell us apart. But I feel like if Faye and her sister had a podcast, they would be going through the same issues. Also, Kaz and her sister's voice were very similar.
It's funny because I've been listening to Claire and Jesse Stevens' new podcast called Cancelled. And I'm feeling now how everyone else feels when they listen to ours because I have no idea who is speaking.
Yeah. For those who don't know, Claire and Jesse are twins. And I pride myself on telling their voices apart because I listen to Jesse a lot on Mamma Mia Out Loud. And I feel like there is a slight difference to Claire's voice. But yeah, I did feel sorry for our listeners when I listened to the podcast.
Well, I have one last piece of Love Island news for everybody, and it's about Priya. So she was a medical student voted out after a week in the villa. She's revealed.
She famously went on a taxiderming date as well.
Yeah. She's revealed that she donated her Love Island paycheck to the NHS charities Together. So she shared the news on her Instagram account. So it kind of gives a bit of an insight into what the Love Islanders are paid to appear. So she received £750 for her week on the show, which is pretty much in line with what other reality contestants are receiving around the world.
Gosh, that's not much, is it?
No.
Well, I feel like the payday comes when they get out of the house and they've got a million followers.
I'm surprised they do actually get paid because they've got like their food and rent provided for them for that time.
I really enjoyed last night because I finally was able to follow the contestants' Instagram accounts because I had banned myself because I didn't want any spoilers, even though I had the whole finale ruined for me anyway. And I found it so interesting scrolling back and looking at the contestants' previous posts to be being on Love Island.
Oh, I feel like that's one of my favorite things to do.
Yeah, I felt like you got a real vibe of who they were. And so many of the men came across as the biggest posers and wannabes on their Instagram accounts.
Yeah, they'd instantly be like, if they were on Tinder or Bumble, it would be an instant like swipe.
Wait, what is it?
I thought you were going to say it was an instant dick pic.
Nah, they just looked like every photo of theirs was topless. And it's like, they've obviously got a good body to show off, but you kind of want to see a bit more than that.
Well, I think that's all we have time for. Thank you so much for joining us for today's episode. If you have enjoyed it, could you please make sure you support the podcast by subscribing on Apple Podcasts and also Spotify?
And if you would like to join in on the conversation, please join us in our Facebook community, which is Outspoken, the podcast community.